This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right. Thank you, Scott Shannon. And thanks to all of you for being with us. Here is our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of this program, this extravaganza. We are awaiting, and it may be today, maybe tomorrow, a decision from the Georgia judge as it relates to whether or not Fani Willis will be disqualified, which she should be in the case against Donald Trump. Georgia law would mandate that just based on the nature of the relationship, if you will, with this unqualified friend, a boyfriend that had no experience in any of this kind of law, and the extravagant amount of money he made and the vacations they took with the money that she approved for payments to him. One thing the judge did do is in Fulton County Superior Court judge, his name is Scott McAfee. He did dismiss six counts against six defendants, including three against the former president, on the grounds that the charges were not specific enough. And this is the first time any charges have been tossed out against the president in any of the four criminal cases. I think this case is literally hanging by a thread. If they follow Georgia ethics, the nature of the relationship between Fani Willis and this attorney she hired, and it does raise issues, by the way, because you have conflicting testimony about when the relationship started. You have evidence presented that seems to show that maybe they weren't both exactly honest about the nature of the relationship at the right time, but that's secondary. But it would, that relationship would require disqualification just based on Georgia law. So waiting for that. But it's going to be interesting. We'll have our attorney panel look at it, including Greg Jarrett will be on the program, and much, much more. But the case should be thrown out. Now, then the question would be, all right, they would probably assign it to another venue. What other venue wants this case? And when does that happen? How many years later? I mean, it's amazing that, you know, magically all the cases against Donald Trump going back, well, in the case of Alvin Bragg, I mean, this is information we knew about Stormy Daniels going back to, you know, before the 2016 election, for crying out loud. Pretty unbelievable. As I dig deeper into the Hur report, the special counsel report and the transcript, just seeing more little details that just stand out to me. Miranda Devine also picked up something today that I thought was interesting. That every time the special counsel, Robert, we affectionately say Robert Ben-Hur, asked Joe Biden a potentially incriminating question, that's when, you know, the old Biden brain fog just kicks in. And what she points out is what is clear is that every time Biden was asked a specific and difficult question that would incriminate him if he answered honestly, he fell back on the sly defenses that you'd expect to hear from, you know, any syndicate operator. You ever notice, for example, when you watch these mob bosses or guys in the mob for a long period of time, and they act like they're checked out and out of it, and they show up in court in their slippers and pajamas? I mean, it's hilarious. Anyway, for example, a filibuster with self-aggrandizing stories or invoking his dead son for sympathy, or, you know, feigned memory loss. Vinny the Chin Gigante comes to mind, as she rightly points out. I mean, that happened quite a bit. And Biden bragged to Robert Hur, "Well, I saved Obama's ass." How come nobody picked up on that? New York Times, at one point, Hur, during his interrogation, Joe Biden actually bragged, "He saved Obama's ass." I can't wait to hear what Barack Obama has to say about having his ass saved by Joe when he and Bill Clinton joined Joe on the campaign trail. All this is an effort to use, surrogates to do the job that everybody knows Joe Biden's not capable of, and that is running a normal campaign. But Biden described giving an oration in law school on a case that he had not read and lying his way into an exclusive club in Delaware, recounting the time with President Obama and trying to save his ass from manipulative generals, boasting of building a solar facility in Angola. I mean, just stuff you just can't really make up, can you? John Solomon, by the way, has some breaking news about the Biden family syndicate and their work with the communist Chinese energy conglomerate CEFC, and the desire after the communist Chinese failed to break into Westinghouse and try and steal the nuclear technology secrets, that in fact then they just decided plan B was to try to use the Bidens, in this case Hunter Biden. One thing we do know, Hunter Biden's trial on felony gun charges has now tentatively been set for the week of June 3rd. Now, Joe Biden's son indicted last September, federal grand jury. None of this impresses me, because remember, the special counsel in this case was the same guy whose original plan was to never bring charges against Hunter Biden in any way, shape, manner, or form, including the gun charges. He certainly is not applying the law as it was applied to people like Paul Manafort, and that's FARA violations. You know, why not? You would think that would have happened. And the amount, then, of course, it was the same Weiss that came up with the sweetheart deal that thankfully a judge in Delaware called him out on. I mean, when the judge in Delaware said, "Have you ever seen a plea deal like this before? Have you ever seen this before?" Because buried in the gun provision aspect of the plea agreement, you know, was the idea that it would exonerate Hunter pretty much for anything and everything in perpetuity. Even, I mean, it was ridiculous. Hunter Biden's attorneys are claiming prosecutors are taking their orders now from Russia. Attorneys for Biden now insinuating that their old friend David Weiss is doing Russian President Vladimir Putin's bidding by trying to prosecute Hunter Biden. Anyway, I mean, he does have a good attorney, Abby Lowell, and one of the other attorneys blasting Weiss on Monday for slapping tax and gun-related charges on the younger Biden after his plea deal imploded last July, and argued that his actions advanced the Kremlin's interests. Quote, "The special counsel has done exactly what Russian intelligence operation desired by initiating prosecutions against Mr. Biden." I mean, got to give him an A-plus for audacity. Whether it works or not, I guess time will tell. But Hunter Biden has retracted his offer to publicly testify. Remember, this was never a real deal. The whole purpose of saying, well, we're not going to give you a deposition. The normal regular practice is when you are subpoenaed by Congress, now you either show up or you face contempt charges. For example, two victims of contempt charges would be Bannon and Peter Navarro. Well, now Peter Navarro is headed to jail for 4 months. Now, remember, they ignored the first subpoena. Now, what should have happened if we had equal justice and application of our laws is Hunter Biden should have been slapped with a contempt violation of Congress. But eventually they went out publicly and said, no, we want to testify publicly. They didn't want to follow normal protocol. They wanted to be treated differently. The committee said no, but if you want a public hearing, we'll give you that public hearing after you do your closed-door deposition. Because in a closed-door deposition, number one, you have more time to really dig deeper into a topic, not 5 minutes going from the Republican Party to Democratic Party, from person to person. You know, you can filibuster 5 minutes against anybody. You can't do that in a deposition where they have that amount of time. And anyway, so that was all. It was a show plea. So now they've had the deposition behind closed doors, and Chairman Comer has offered them to, in fact, go before the world and do this publicly and have a public hearing. But now they don't want to do it. Now they're not going to do it. Now, Hunter Biden's ex-business partner, Tony Bobulinski, slammed him for running away from the House Oversight Committee. And he criticized the president's son for running away by declining to appear at this congressional hearing next week. Well, we know why. Also, John Solomon, justthenews.com, has a big, he's going to delve into the detail of his new investigative report about Hunter and his partners aiding the Chinese government, CEFC, in their bid to corner nuclear energy market with U.S. tech. This is because their efforts to hack into Westinghouse failed. So we're going to watch all of this with great interest over time. Look, we're only 235 days away from Election Day. And this is probably the biggest tipping point election in our lives. Hannity, I've been listening to you for many years, and in past elections, you have said that very thing, and you would be correct. However, this time, it is more real than it's ever been. I mean, look at the economy. We got more horrific news today, Joe Biden's inflation. Now, we had learned last week that the consumer price index had gone up a whopping 3.2% from last year. Now we know inflation at the wholesale level, well, that rose more than expected in February. The latest sign that price pressures within the economy remain elevated and difficult to tame. That probably means the odds that we're going to have a rate cut, an interest rate cut, is going to go down dramatically. But on an annual basis, when you look at the producer price index, which measures inflation at the wholesale level before it reaches you, the consumer, and then it goes up from there. Well, prices were up 1.6% on an annual basis, and those figures are both higher than the, you know, predicted numbers expected by economists. Another sign that points to the, you know, high inflation, core prices, which exclude the more volatile measurements of food and energy and gas prices simultaneously, we now know are going up again. Janet Yellen is warning inflation decline may not be smooth. Well, a month ago or 2 months ago, they were telling us, well, expect a soft landing. Well, it's not going to be so soft. And then she discussed inflation, higher taxes. And she actually said, that she regretted ever saying that inflation was transitory. Here's what she said.
In 2021, you did say that inflation was transitory. Do you regret saying that now?
I regret saying it was transitory. It has come down, but I think transitory means a few weeks or months to most people, and that it's lasted longer than that.
It's been the entire Biden presidency. What the hell is she talking about? I mean, it's ridiculous. We have 4-month high gas prices, wholesale inflation now accelerating on top of the CPI, Consumer Price Index, and it shows Americans' basic needs now eat up more household budgets under Joe Biden. I pointed this out, about $11,000 more. Great. And then, of course, what do we have from Joe Biden? Oh, let me put forward a $7.3 trillion budget. Do you not realize how bad this is? That we're going to be at 150% of GDP, which is unsustainable. We can't survive as a country with numbers that bad. The U.S. national debt could quickly reach 130% of GDP, shooting well past $50 trillion, even assuming Joe Biden gets his wealth tax passed and his corporate tax passed. Let me tell you, it may sound good on paper if you're not part of the wealthy. If you're not a corporation, oh, yeah, let's take their money and give it to me. It may sound good on the surface, but every corporation that they raise taxes on, every rich person they raise taxes on, that's less money they're going to be spending and investing that's going to benefit all of us and create jobs and goods and services at prices that we can actually afford and that we want, need, and desire. Look at this. California is bracing for a new electric plan. Which means they'll make more, but they're going to pay more to stop the brownouts. Okay. And then, of course, they're suing these oil companies out in California. What does that mean? You already have $7 a gallon gasoline. What does that mean for the people of California? It means that, well, that lawsuit is going to be funded by them and probably the rest of us. I've been telling you about the Knox Entry System, how it's helping law enforcement gain the access they need to schools during hostile events. Now, already more than 200 municipalities, they trust the Knox Entry System to provide a secure and efficient means to get access when and where they need it. Now, businesses and airports, they're joining schools and law enforcement and fire departments. They're now all using Knox Entry. They want to manage first responder access and or authorized service activity. Why? To better protect and monitor their critical assets. A Knox Entry allows you to develop customized access strategies complete with an audit trail, rapid flexibility. If your company has important assets, pay attention. You want to better protect those assets? Contact Knox today. Anyway, go to their website. It's Knox.com. That's KNOX.com.